Thanks for downloading the Overdrive podcast. If you're on Instagram, make sure you follow us at TSN1050. If you're not, sign up and follow us, even if it's the only account that you follow. Because if you're a big fan of the show, you've got to know what's going on behind the scenes. On Instagram, at TSN1050.
It's Mail It In Friday.
I called in sick. I don't work in the rain.
Well, I kind of mailed that in.
You can't deliver mail?
Why not?
Yeah, whatever.
I guess you're right. It's just walking around putting it in the boxes.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
It's a Friday. The Leafs are coming off a big win last night. That was impressive in Nashville, man. That might be the best bounce-back game of the season. Even though they didn't really need it because they're so far into the playoffs and it's not like they got destroyed by Tampa. They just choked it away in the third period. But going into Nashville, that's a really good team, really
tough
rink. 2 years
in a row, really good games in there.
Yeah, they won both.
Plus it didn't, like Tuesday's game just didn't leave a good taste in your mouth. That's what it was. Like you're, regardless of the outcome, it just, people were flipping out like, oh, here we go, giving away leads. And then there's stats coming out, like how many leads have they given away this year? Like the panic started setting in.
Well, that's the beauty of any fan base, especially one as large as the Maple Leaf fan base.
Right.
And where social media comes in. If they play poorly, half the fan base can't wait to get on Twitter.
Right, yeah.
And even though they're Leaf fans, they're kind of, I wouldn't say they're self-loathing, but right, they're pessimistic, right? They're naturally pessimistic. And they're like, here we go, I knew it. God, that was awful last night. How about that? And then when they go out there and they win big, the other side of it starts yelling. And they're like, I told you, they're maybe the best team in the league.
Right.
I knew they were this good. They're great. And realistically, they're somewhere in between. You know, they're probably not the best team in the league, but they're certainly nowhere close to the worst or anywhere in the middle. They're an upper echelon team.
Yep.
And when they put the pedal to the metal like they did last night, man, they can jump on teams. They got a lot of skill and a lot of pace. And if Matthews is back and playing like that and Marner stays hot, the power play stays hot, Freddie looked good last night, that's a recipe for success.
Exactly.
I'm ready for the playoffs. Let's get going.
Well, I think we all are. Now they got, what, 8 games left, right? And just, you know, you've got some weaker teams you're going to play and some trap games and stuff. But then you're looking at what's Mike's formula going to be down the stretch here. Is Matthews going to play every game? Is Marner going to play every game? Is, you know, do you rest Marlow at 38 years old to make sure he's got some legs, like, you know.
But he's got that streak going. I don't think
old Mitchie Marner wants to come out of the lineup.
I don't think any of them do, but like
none of them do.
You also have to realize, for the greater good, like we say this all the time, investment.
How do you think Van Riemsdyk would respond to that?
I don't think he's.
But just hypothetically,
take him out.
But contract year.
If I'm Lou Lamoriello, and Austin Matthews got injured, I'm pulling the trainer aside and saying, we're in the playoffs. He doesn't need to be out there for quite some time.
But that's after the fact. If he gets injured, you're probably too late.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Now you're close to the playoffs. You don't want any injury.
At that particular time, though, I would have been like, you just make sure he's okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think they did, though. It sounded like he was overly ripened. Exactly.
And ready to go.
Cooked to come back. Exactly.
Well, he looked good last night. Like, he looked really good, man. And he scored that beauty. And he didn't even really overreact to it. It was almost like he expected that. Like, he's a big game player. And he's proven that early in his career. I'm pretty certain of what I'm getting out of 34 come opening night.
For sure.
Marner, on the other hand, he did not have a good playoff a year ago. He did not look good. That whole line did not look good.
But there were also, Marner, afterwards, wasn't it on this show where Babcock kind of let, the mono thing going on. So, health heading in, Marner's playing his best hockey that we've seen in 2 years. So there's no reason to believe he would change that. I'd like to see Willie Nye be a little bit more consistent. But, again, it's opportunity. Kadri's going to continue to I'm more excited to see just what roster. Like, it's, you know,
don't
at
you
the
think,
top who's playing.
Don't you think Komarov's going back in, or do you think there's a chance that Janssen
I think Komarov goes back in regardless of who they play.
Yeah, me too.
Until it's time for him to play
in the playoffs. Komarov, for sure. He's a playoff player. Like,
and he's their number one penalty killer.
Yeah. There's once he's ready, he goes back in, and it's not even a slight on the kid. It's more about what you believe that ingredient will help. Now, Kapanen and Janssen both bring speed, they bring skill, and, you know, a different dynamic on a fourth line. But, again, I don't see Janssen killing penalties as effective as Komarov being a pain in the ass, being tough to play against. Those are, as people hate that the, you know, eye test, the numbers, those are the intangibles that Komarov may chip away.
Factor.
Especially if you're playing Boston, you're going to need Komarov to get underneath the skin of a Backes or a Marchand or Krejci or Bergeron. Like, you're going to need that to draw a penalty against a Chara who loses it, or, you know, stuff like that. You're going to need that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think he's playing series, for sure. I would guess Janssen is coming out. I think Kapanen will stay. I think he's worked himself into a position where he's going to play. I thought Bukanets was okay last night. You know, like, he's just found kind of a rhythm. He's been in the league forever, and
he's just kind of out there, though. But
you're not expecting the world out of him. He's on the fourth line.
But you are expecting solid play. And his transition has been slower than people have wanted it. But all I say is, keep in mind, there's a reason why they felt they had to go and get him. So for people debating, like, Dominic Moore or Plekanec, Dominic Moore has been a very good player this year. Like, just fine. He doesn't hurt you.
He looks good because he can skate better than Plekanec.
Yeah.
Like, I think optically, you'd look at Moore and be like, wow, he's bringing it tonight.
Brian, right. The bottom line is Mike Babcock doesn't like Dominic
Exactly.
Moore, and that's why they got Plekanec.
That's why Plekanec is playing.
But that's, I mean, and the coach wants to put his roster in.
There were some games early in the season where Dom Moore took some penalties and they scored on them, and Mike Babcock just said, no guy.
Yeah, that if you're farther down in the lineup and you take a bad penalty, you get that laser from the bench.
Multiple? Like, fourth line players have an understanding, or they should. No dumb penalties. I can't take dumb penalties.
Right.
Because you're not out there that much. Just work hard, be a momentum shifter. No dumb penalties.
Don't get scored on.
The guy on the line took a lot of dumb penalties.
Is that right? Yes. Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, longtime NHLer, joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. Can you confirm or deny that you took a lot of dumb penalties throughout your career?
That's a firm denial to that, that accusation. I took a few, but no, I generally was judicious with my stick work. No, I didn't take many penalties, period, let alone dumb ones.
Does anything, I mean, it's funny, when you think back in your career, like, do you ever remember, like, a bad penalty or a bad play?
I used to get screwed all the time. Like, I tell Billy McCreary every time I see him, he gave me a penalty one night. I just stuck my stick out, and it hit Keith Tkachuk's pants, and it made this loud noise. Billy's arm goes up. He's like, two for some. I'm like, Billy, that's the worst penalty you've ever called in your life. And he's like, Jeff, I had to do it. I had to call it. I'm like, I got so many bad calls.
MJ, what did
MJ,
you have?
MJ, anything stick out?
I don't remember any ones that are particularly egregious. I only got 30 minutes a year or something like that, so I didn't get very many each year. I was pretty good. The rest liked me. I was always very calm and conversational. I never screamed and yelled at them, even when I was a bit older and, you know, a couple of years I wore a letter or whatever. Like, I never got into it with them like that. So I think I got the benefit of the doubt just because I was pretty chill with them. So they give you those ones, like little flyby slash that does nothing but makes a big sound. I generally wouldn't get those kind of calls against me.
I'll never forget Pat Quinn. I saw some guys take some dumb penalties, and nothing ever happened to them. I took a penalty in Minnesota one night, slashed my stick against the glass, got teed up for an extra two. Pat goes on the bench, you're not playing again tonight. I'm like, oh, so I'm getting benched, but all these other turkeys can run around.
You're done.
Yeah. You're done.
Well, I've always wondered what the mood is like on the bench. Like, if some kid comes up that no one even knows and he takes a dumb penalty, boys on the bench yelling at him?
MJ could speak to this last night. Like, Zach Smith's a respected guy in the dressing room and liked by his teammates, and he's a solid player. He's not having his best statistical season, but he's a good player. He took a penalty and then took an unsportsmanlike the second he got out last night.
In Ottawa last night.
In Ottawa. And you could see the guys on the bench are like, oh, my God. Like, you know, you're I mean, you're called, you're next on the ice, and this guy gets out of the box, and now they got the kill's got to go back out. Now you've got to miss another round of shifts because this guy's in the box because he can't control himself.
Yeah, but you know what? Noodles, you're a goalie a bit different, but O would know this too. Like, you are firmly aware of where you stand on the hierarchy of the team and where everyone else is. So Zach Smith on that year with his experience, you know he could possibly get away with that. Philip Schlappick, if he does that, he gets the Pat Quinn, you're not playing again treatment. I mean, and you know that. You know when you're one of the guys, I'm sure you've been that guy several times in your career where, you know, you're good enough or your relationship as the coach is strong enough that you can get away with a little bit of stuff here and there. But then you also know when you're not. And when you're not, you're less likely to pull a Zach Smith there because you might not play the next game, you might not play the rest of the night, but you don't abuse that privilege when you know you don't have it.
Well, Kadri, I think, is the best example in Toronto. There are times throughout every season you know he's been hit and he's going to take a penalty. It's a lock.
Yeah.
Like, he got laid out last night. I thought he was taking one.
Yeah, the wires cross a little bit with him.
And Babcock is like, well, that's what happens. He's an edgy player. Yeah. I'm willing to accept it. I'm not going to plant him on the bench and try to take that away from him.
No.
But it's a weird kind of out-of-body experience where you're watching it and you're like, this guy's taking a dumb penalty right now. It's happening.
But I mean, you realize he's a valuable player, but aren't you pissed if your line is called? Like, if you're taking him off. So if Bozak's up.
Of course.
And you could see him chasing somebody down, and he's about to take that penalty. You can see him like
about you're hoping to get to the fight, Noodles.
Yeah.
Or get the five, so at least to even it up.
Right, give you more ice time. He's off for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
even better, give him a 10. Perfect.
Yeah.
With Mike Johnson here on Overdrive. We were talking about the speed and skill the Leafs were putting on display last night and through 40 minutes in Tampa as well. And that's their bread and butter. I mean, they're not a big, heavy team. They're not going to suffocate you in the neutral zone. But how do you feel about the likelihood of that playing out in the playoffs? Do you believe they can play that style and be effective like that through 4 games, 7 games, 1, 2, 3 series, whatever it might be?
Definitely. I think they can completely play that way and be effective. I think the rules are designed where it's more possible for teams to play that system, that style in the playoffs, more so than maybe when it used to be, where you'd see guys get kind of shut down, the clutching, the grabbing, and the slashing. And even, you know, you go back to 2011, Vancouver, where it seemed like Boston could do whatever they wanted anytime they want and not really pick up a penalty to try to slow down a faster, more skilled team in Vancouver. I think that they can play that. The bigger question to me, though, is that the greatest strength of Toronto probably is their forward depth, right? So, like, the fact that they can roll four lines over there, they're all pretty good. They can all skate. You know, three of the four of them can score with pretty regular clip. When you play in the playoffs, when you have no travel to concerns, when you have full rest between games, when guys play more, does that depth become less important? Because guys just are able to play. All the forwards play 22, 23 minutes. The defense play 31, 32. And you don't need to play everyone because you have more time in between and you're more willing to burn guys out because, you know, there's a finish line in sight for the series or the playoffs or the season. That's the bigger concern. I think they'll be able to play that way, but does the lack of, the lack of tough schedules, volume of games, you know, kind of chip away at their greatest asset, which is their forward depth.
Johnny, what do you think about, do you think there's 7 teams that can win the Cup and then none of them really scare each other? It's just going to be a coin flip every series. We were talking about that earlier in the show, where there's 6-7 teams that are real good and it's coin flip every series.
I think so. I think the one team that probably is slightly separated from that is Pittsburgh, just because they have won. Not that the guys are intimidated to play against them, but they have some sort of built-in credibility because they've won the last two and because they have Sid, who seems to win whenever it really matters most. Other than that, I think it is. It's absolutely anyone's game, any team. If any of those 7 teams beat the other, it wouldn't be considered a massive upset. There's a lot of teams with a chance, and I think Toronto's one of those teams.
Oh, I think they absolutely are. And you're right, right, though. Like, Pitt is the one with the winning pedigree because Nashville, Tampa, Boston, Vegas, Winnipeg, Toronto, Washington, they've never won. Never won a cup. Or recently, anyway. You know, right. And you're right. That mental edge that Pittsburgh might have over whoever they might play could go a long way.
Yeah, and the player edge, because likely that whoever Pittsburgh plays, they will have the best positional player in the game. They may not have the best goalie, but they'll have the best player in Sid, or maybe even Malkin for that matter. So that's a pretty nice luxury to have. So I think that would be the only team that the group might be a little bit wary of. But I'm surprised you put Washington in there. I don't think Washington, despite my, they could win. I don't put them in the same group of those elite guys. I just don't, their goaltending, I don't know what's going to happen with that. I think their defense is not the same. Their depth is, and the forwards are not nearly as good. TJ Oshie hasn't had a year like he had years past. They could win, but I don't put them in the elite group with Nashville, Winnipeg, Toronto, Boston, Tampa, Pitt. I don't even know if I put Vegas in there just yet, but you kind of have to.
Yeah. Well, they keep winning, right? I mean, it yeah. doesn't stop.
But can you see, I mean, it's a great exercise. Can you see Vegas winning a round?
Yes.
Absolutely.
100% for sure.
See, I can't. I don't know why, and I don't.
How can you say every time I watch they just win?
I know.
And I'm like, what about them? Would you not say that they're not going to win?
Well, one round I can see it. I don't see them in like a cup final or anything. I don't see that.
They're going to have 22 points more than the team they play, and they're one of the better teams at home on the year. It'd be hard to suggest that they couldn't beat whoever it is.
Yeah, like that's. I guess that's the thing. It's the matchup that is really going to.
And that
that's
is important. Like, if they play Anaheim, I could see old Randy. Like, Anaheim's played them pretty well. I think they beat them in Vegas twice.
Right.
I think they're the only team that's done that.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't want Anaheim. Anaheim's a veteran-laden team. They've been down that road before. I'm not sure they'd be favored against Anaheim. Colorado, they'd spank, I think.
I think they'd be favored over any team they play. I mean, 100 and whatever they're going to have, 110 points?
Yeah, I mean, just on statistical, I mean, everything, you have to give them a nod. I feel like every person, including last night, I had a beer with a coach, and their pre-scout, they're still trying to figure out what they do that makes them that good. Like, they've got players that advance the puck. They've got guys who can score timely goals. They've had good goaltending. They're well-rounded. They're fast. They work hard. Like, there's not a lot of weakness there, but their strengths aren't like the teams we were just talking about. Like, MJ, you just said, like, Pittsburgh's got two generational players. Like, you don't see that on Vegas. I mean, Fleury's probably the most decorated player on that team, correct?
And yeah, he would be.
Yeah.
But there's just, I mean, Carlson's having a season. Does he continue that on? Like, when you start to coach specifically, especially in a series against the team, I feel like, and again, I could be 100% wrong, that they're just, maybe they find a kryptonite that's like,
and
okay,
they hammer it home.
We figure this out. I don't know.
Well, we've been waiting, 5 months for that to happen. Like, every time they go on the road trip, every time they lose two in a row, you're like, okay, this is it.
Yeah, it's that.
Finally, here comes Vegas. They're going to lose 7-10, back to reality. They're still an expansion team, but they haven't. So I know you can't prove it until you're there, but, God, they've done everything you could possibly imagine. And I would just counter, they have a guy in Fleury who not only has the pedigree, but shockingly to me, he's having almost a Vezina finalist caliber season, which I'm stunned about, but good for him, but he is. You have one of the best 5-on-5 lines in the league when Riley Smith is healthy, in Marchessault and Carlson, like one of the very best 5-on-5 lines in the league, which 5-on-5 play matters more. And they got some guys that can score. You know, David Perron, James Neal have been around, and you put all those things together.
Yeah.
Like, I know they haven't done it as a group because it's their first year, but yeah, guys have been around. Neal was in the finals last year. Yeah, guys who have had success previously. I don't know if they'll feel as overwhelmed because it's, you know, it's Anaheim and they're supposed to be really good. I don't see it. They'll be favored first round for sure. They'll probably be favored second round as well.
You two donkeys want to tell everyone how you sewered me on Trade Center with the Calgary Flames? This is what I say. I'm like, Calgary needs some offense. Like, you look at this Frolik guy. Maybe they can have an upgrade there. And
yeah.
Noodles goes, that's the best line in the league. Johnny goes, yeah, it's the best second line in the league. I wouldn't touch anything there. So I'm national television. I'm like,
it was
okay.
Daryl Sutter that actually led. Daryl's like, I kind of like that line. Like, he was being gentle.
He wasn't
to
on
you.
The panel at that time. It was me, you, and Johnny.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
I thought Daryl was sitting in. No. They had Daryl sitting right to my left.
No, it was after Daryl, and you guys were like, no, well, it's the best line in the league.
But think about it. Frolik has been very good. Michael Backlund is a very underrated center, man.
Kachuk's been great.
And Matthew Kachuk has been outstanding.
I think what we were suggesting was your point is accurate and very well made. I just don't think it would be Frolik that I would move around because that line together has been for 2 years really quite effective.
Yeah. I know, John.
So maybe find a third line guy. Maybe you got to replace... you know, Garnet Hathaway for more offense.
Or
I don't
Troy
know if I would
Brown.
Interrupt that second line who does such a good job checking, but, you know, that's just my opinion. It doesn't make it right.
You were right, too, in the sense, when you started to take a look at it, their right side is weak. That's where I think you circled, and like you were taking a look at, they've got Ferland playing on the right side, then it was Frolik, then
the way
it was
you guys
Troy
did
Brown.
It, they were like, it just sewered me.
We didn't sewer.
As I was talking, though, I could see your face. It's like, what are you doing? what are you doing to me right now?
Where are you going with this?
Yeah,
I was borderline not laughing while I was talking, just so I could see your reaction beside me. Just without even moving, you're just like, what? What do you think you're doing?
Yeah, and then the minute that the segment was over, you looked at both of us like, thanks for that, guys. Way to work.
Just a
I swear
job.
That Daryl was sitting there, and Daryl was the catalyst, but maybe I'm wrong. But
that was funny.
Well, what are you going to do?
It was good times.
What are you going to do?
Fun times. Thanks,
right, Johnny. Thanks, buddy.
All right, guys. Have a good weekend.
There's Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca. Johnny and Noodles, you guys were both in Ottawa last night to watch McDavid just put on an absolute show.
This guy is...
This is such a wasted season. It's sad that this kid is. He's this good, and that whole team has just been a disaster.
They've been terrible this year, and it sucks, but... To watch him play, he's worth the price of admission. Like, it was a big crowd last night in Ottawa.
Of course, I was
telling Brian, like, the Leafs travel very well. The Habs travel very well.
McDavid travels well.
And Crosby travels well. Like, when I've called games on the road, like, you know, Pittsburgh and Ottawa, like, usually that end where Pittsburgh is warming up is just crowded with Crosby jerseys, a lot of Malkin, a lot of Phil. People love Phil. Some signs for Phil.
Thanks, eh?
Is it Maple Leaf Phil jerseys or Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh.
Really?
I've seen Pittsburgh Phils, yeah. Which is, I mean, great. You know, that's what he was a Maple Leaf for many years, but he's had his most success, technically, as a Penguin. McDavid travels well.
Do you think that would be the case if he wasn't in Edmonton? Like, is there a Canadian connection? Like, let's say he played in Arizona. Somehow they won the lottery, and Arizona's a disaster, just like Edmonton is.
But
and McDavid rolls in. I think he benefits. Not he doesn't benefit, but these owners do from him playing in a Canadian
market. But if he won the Hart last year, like, say he was in Arizona and won the Hart and won the scoring race. Like, to me, you're right. Canadian market, Canadian everything. But I also think it's the player that's special.
Oh, there's no denying that. He'd be as special wherever he was, but... Like, using a TSN analogy, when we do our preseason previews, we talk about seven teams,
obviously.
And that's it. You know,
You're right.
You might mention, hey, the Cup champs and Sid, and how about Ovi, and McDavid would come up in those shows.
But you're right, seven teams, but then we always include Ovi and Sid.
Yeah, and McDavid would be a part of that.
So McDavid would be included in every conversation, just to your point, not as focused on. And that's the truth. But, I mean, watching him as many times as I've watched him and then live, I'm a couple feet away from him last night, just...
Ice level watching him would be incredible.
It was funny because he turned it up. Like, the game was close for a bit there. Like, it was 1-1, and then... I'm sorry, it was 2-0. And then Duchesne scored a really nice goal. And McDavid... 8 seconds later, was like, we're not having this. Like, this isn't going to be that close. And put it on a tee for Nugent Hopkins, 3-1. Then the game was, within like 3 minutes, it was 5-1. And it was all him. Like, it wasn't anybody else. It was McDavid And they've got the Ty Ratty up there playing with them. They've got RNH, who is, I thought, was outstanding last night and is a nice little addition on the left side for him. But it's...
Nobody cares about anything else but McDavid.
Exactly.
That's the truth. Like, with all due respect to Edmonton, I don't care about anyone but him.
What about 100 points in the National Hockey League 2 years in a row? That's redonk.
Yeah, pretty good player.
What has he got, 97 right now?
We had 94 last night, right?
Yeah. 94 or 5. He's
passing a hunch.
He tied Kucherov. Like, Kucherov got one and he got four last night.
I guarantee you the momentum for him MVP is going to start.
I don't know.
The old quizmaster.
But I think he has to win by several points to get
And that's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. And on Friday, so today, you call in with the names of all five players, and you can win a pair of lower bowl tickets to see the Leafs take on the Jets March 31st down at the ACC next Saturday. The theme this week has been former Leafs who played for the original Winnipeg Jets. And today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is Dallas Eakins. Dallas Eakins. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at Zephyr Epic. com. The phone lines are open, 416-870-1050. 416-870-1050. First one in with all five names. You're going to see Leafs-Jets next Saturday night down at the ACC. Big news out of Boston. Kyrie Irving is going under the knife. We don't know when he's going to return. How does this shake up the Eastern Conference, and what does it mean for the Raptors? And we'll get into this Blue Jay story about the tickets, how many people are even buzzing about them. They're in town in less than a week. Season kicks off in less than a week. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. You could buy that vacuum from the guy who claims it fell off the back of a truck, or you could buy it off ebay.ca. Find refurbished vacuums for half the price of a brand new one, and millions of the items on ebay.ca come from right here in Canada. Shopped in Canada, shipped in Canada. Gotta be careful there. eBay, fill your cart with color. Shop ebay.ca. All right, Amin El-Hassan will join us here from ESPN. We'll get into this Kyrie Irving news and the Kawhi Leonard stuff in San Antonio. We talked about that yesterday. The reported players-only meeting where they were all just chewing into him, like, you got to come back and play. It continues to get ugly down there.
Where did you sit on that?
Well, is he getting paid?
Yeah, he's getting paid. Of course he's getting paid.
Wow.
Listen, if you're 100% and you can play and you're going to the playoffs,
yeah,
you should probably be playing.
But his attitude is like, I'm...
No one knows what Leonard is even
That's
saying.
That's why I want to get
problem.
The scoop. Like, what is the deal here? Is this guy saying he's not healthy enough?
Well, basically, that's what he's telling people. But it's getting ugly because Tony Parker, who had a career-threatening quad injury last year,
yeah,
he came out, I guess, today and was talking to someone at a paper down there, and he said, quote, I've been through it. It was a rehab for me for 8 months. Same kind of injury as Kawhi, but mine was 100 times worse. But the same kind of injury, you just stay positive. Just a little dig at him. Mine was so much worse, but I came back. But whatever. It's all good.
8 months, though. Like,
I hear you, but
well, my
Kawhi Leonard's barely played all year.
My players' meeting would be, you play or go home. Because if you're going to just sit around here and lounge around and...
It's ugly down there.
But You hear coaches that say no hurt players around the team.
I could see Popovich having that rule.
Yeah.
Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline is ESPN's NBA analyst Amin El-Hassan. How ugly is this down in San Antonio? Have you ever seen anything like this?
I mean, it's pretty ugly because it's so public. And it being public is kind of weird in and of itself. But when you talk about the San Antonio Spurs, one of the most secretive organizations in sports, and... all their business out in the streets seemingly instantaneously, it makes you take pause and think about what's going on over there and who is trying to leverage who in this situation.
Can we get into the exact specifics? Is he saying to the team, I'm actually hurt and I can't play, and they said you are healthy, or what is the reason for him not playing?
So the idea is that he's been medically cleared by the team doctors, but he himself does not feel like he's 100%. And, you know, I always say athletes know their bodies better than anyone else. If a guy tells me that he doesn't feel 100%, I don't care if I have every test in the world and it's accurate, as long as he thinks there's something wrong with him, he's going to be favoring that injured leg or arm or whatever, in this case, a quad. And when he favors it, it puts more pressure on the other parts of his body, and you get further injury there. So even if the tests are correct, which, by the way, there's not a reason to believe that they are, even if that's the case, you still got a guy out there who is going to be playing on a leg that he believes is not 100%. So if he's not ready, he's not ready. Another thing I say is we harp on players all the time about building reputations, having a good reputation, right? Don't have a bad reputation. Don't be like Ron Artest or Dennis Rodman or Rasheed Wallace. Then you don't have a kind of a benefit of the doubt. Kawhi Leonard has done nothing but have a sterling career in the NBA. Low maintenance guy, hard worker, shows up to work, does everything the right way. The first time he has an issue, he says, "I'm not ready." We're going to sit here and jump him.
Well, it does feel, though, like these players are cannibalizing themselves. I mean, Ginobili had some pretty pointed comments over the weekend, and now Parker's comments today where he's like, yeah, I had an injury that was 100 times worse, but I came back. Like, it just kind of, it's one thing if it's the outside, if it's media guys, if it's hot take artists like me. It's another thing if it's teammates who are like, I don't know what's going on. And it just makes me wonder where this relationship goes. Like, can they work this out where Leonard and the Spurs stay amicable and stay as partners for a long, long time?
We talked about this on the jump yesterday with Steven Jackson. Steven Jackson has obviously played in San Antonio in two different stints. He has played with all of the people, the principals in this. He played with Kawhi, he played with Tony and Manu, and obviously he played for Pop. And Steven Jackson's thing is, all that stuff is that, you know, with Tony and Manu and the players, basically being a players meeting, all that. That is part of the San Antonio playbook, where Pop has his guys communicate his message, but dress it up as it's coming from us, the players. And so you got to take, you know, those comments with a grain of salt. That's not just players thinking business as teammates. That's almost like the message is coming from up top. But as far as can the Spurs make it, fix it? Yeah, they can fix it July 1st when he's eligible to sign that Supermax extension, and they offer that July 1st, 12-01. Guess what? It's fixed.
It's a lot of money potentially on the line, and that might be factoring into what he's dealing with right now with Amin El-Hassan, NBA insider with ESPN. As for the East, big news out of Boston, Kyrie Irving, he's going to have some sort of a surgery on his knee. We don't know the extent of it. We don't know the timeline of return. But if he doesn't return anytime soon and it leaks into the playoffs, how does that affect the way you see the Celtics in the East playing out?
Well, obviously that's a huge blow. Depending on who they play in the first round, I believe last I checked, it would be Miami at the 17th. That happened, and the Celtics are in jeopardy of losing that first round too. If Kyrie is not available to play, that's not a very good team. I mean, we talk about, even with Kyrie playing and running the season, is this a team that's in the bottom third in the NBA in offensive rating? Now you take away their one guy and go get one on his own? I score points, win games, and, you know, Miami's a pretty tough defensive team. It would be disaster, to say the least. But then again, if you're Boston, this whole season probably was just kind of a mulligan, like the moment that Gordon Hayward got hurt. And it's great that those young players like Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum had an opportunity to develop, but you kind of knew that they weren't going to win the East. And really, between them, Cleveland, and Toronto, I would put them third of that grouping of the top teams in the East. So, you know, it's not, what I guess I'm saying is, it's not that big of a loss if you weren't expected to do much anyway.
All right, Amin, we'll leave it there. Thank you for doing this, man, as always.
All right, thanks a lot.
There's Amin El-Hassan. Where do you think that guy is right
now? That guy was playing dice in a peeler joint.
he was...
Walking through a car wash.
He was...
What about the...
That's just the wind, but, like, he walked into, like, a restaurant or something. That lady was laughing
right at the end, the whistle.
Yeah.
The door chime is going off. This guy's in Midtown Manhattan. It's on fire.
That guy was at the Dollhouse in New York City.
Anyway, Amin El-Hassan joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. Maple Toyota takes away the fears of buying a pre-owned vehicle by sharing service history, lien history, and accident history. Visit MapleToyota.ca. I'm with them, though. Like, if Hayward was out, Marcus Smart is out in Boston, if Kyrie Irving is now done, it's a lost season anyway, probably, for Boston.
Right.
And they're building for the future with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Like, they got some really good young pieces alongside Kyrie Irving. They're going to be really good for a long time. But it's just one more potential domino that's fallen here in favor of the Raptors.
Yep.
You know, like, Cleveland with LeBron, they're going to do what they're going to do. And there's still some good talent and some good teams in the East, but it's not a very good conference. It's pretty weak. And the Raptors are the top team. So if they can't get it done this year,
yeah,
or at the very least get to a conference final this year, that's on them, man. That's on them.
Yeah, you're right.
They're set up for it. They got Brooklyn in town tomorrow or tonight. And
they're set
they
up for it.
They
played like it. Like, they play like they should be that team.
Yeah.
They're... But just go out and do it. But I told you before, they continually do things in the playoffs where you're... How many times have we sat there and been like, where was DeMar last night? Where was Lowry? They had 10 points each.
Yeah, that can't happen.
No,
exactly. That absolutely can't happen. Friday five-pack just after 6. Gord Ash will join us, longtime GM of the Jays. We'll get his take on Bichette and Vlade Guerrero Jr. beginning in Double-A. But they're going to be in Montreal early next week to play a couple of games at the Big O and get his take on the story in the Sun about ticket sales and the lack of buzz for the Jays in Toronto. That's coming up in the 6 p.m. hour. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. Do you guys want to know how I started my day this morning?
Yes. Dreaming of a lasagna?
No, I was not dreaming of seducing a lasagna. You woke up with a growl on after fantasizing about lasagna.
Me in a roasted turkey with a lasagna.
Just getting intimate with a lasagna.
Yeah.
And it happened. You brought one in today, and we had a great start. We're starting to fade because we were all over that lasagna.
I'll never eat lasagna again. It does something to me where I want it so bad, and then I eat it, and it gives me, like, this weird vibe.
Shuts your whole immune system down.
Yeah.
It just clogs you up.
Yeah, it really does. So anyway, I was in the kitchen or something like that, and my two-year-old, who's getting bigger and getting older, and you know the age, where it's like, I'm not a little girl, I'm a big person now. But for whatever reason, she asked me to pick her up.
All right.
So I'm like, I got to take advantage of this. I'm always, she's still at a weight and a size where you can pick her up, where I know in 2 or 3 years, she's going to tell me to get the hell out of here, and I'm never going to be able to do it again. So,
exactly.
Like, absolutely, I'll pick you up. And I don't think she had this in mind, but I picked her up. Sneeze right in the face.
So you're going to be sick this weekend.
Immediately a sneeze in the face.
Yeah.
And again, I don't think she had that thought, like, I'm going to prank this guy. I think it was pick me up. I want to get something like a vitamin out of or whatever. But now that you got me, I got to be honest, I can't control this. Sure. I'm going to sneeze right in your face.
So you're now...
I'm on watch.
You're preempting Monday.
Yeah.
You're like, you know,
I'm
what?
Calling Mount Sinai. I might have to book a room.
Well, it's possible. Kids are germy. Yeah. Mine are like cesspools. You walk home. Like, I took my kid to school this morning. The kid standing in behind her in line,
snot
trails right down his face. Like, it was like
Harry and Lloyd.
Yeah. Like, frozen against his face. Yeah. And I'm like, he's not his fault. Like, he's sick.
Well, I think the parent, like, every parent's like, I hate when I see the kid in line with snot on his nose and sick. But the other parent is like, I'm not dealing with this kid every day.
Well, also, the other parents, like, how about your own kid? I saw
exactly.
That snot-ridden kid 2 days ago, and
try
it was a disaster.
To throw stones because, exactly.
We all live in glass houses.
Yes.
Anyway, Leafs in action tomorrow night, coming off a big win in Nashville last night. We were talking about this earlier, the idea of Winnipeg in town next Saturday without Laine, but he might play tonight.
Yeah.
He might end up playing, and that would be a pretty cool story. And then all of a sudden, he remains in pursuit of the Rocket Richard, and you can tell he wants it.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
He wants
it. And he's that competitive. Like, Ob was talking about it. Like, this guy's gone to Paul Maurice, and they're probably trying to shut him down and be like, okay, take another week. And he's like, no, I want to play.
Take a week? I don't even know if he's missed a game. Has he missed one game? I don't think he has.
Have they played? Because
Laine?
I did the game.
Yeah.
I thought he missed one game. But I'm...
Maybe one.
Maybe one. Maybe one. It was earlier this week.
I know, but I'm getting my days mixed up.
Because he got hit hard, or was that last year?
That was last year in Buffalo where he got laid out and he was concussed.
It was Tuesday he got injured, so they haven't played since.
Yeah, it was Tuesday against L.A.
Right.
Yeah, so, they have not played since. So okay, he hasn't missed any games.
Well, he wants to play.
Good for him. That's a great story. And they got Anaheim in town tonight. Yeah. He might play them in the playoffs at some point.
He wants
then
to
you got Nashville
maker.
In town on Sunday. And then Boston in town. They got three games coming up. Anaheim, Nashville, Boston, all in Winnipeg, all playoff primers.
Yeah. Well, it's and it's tough to replace. Like, they can replace him in-house. It's like Matthews getting injured. Like, they've got enough skill up front that they can absorb some of the uniqueness that Matthews brings. Same thing. Like, Laine is a threat on the power play. His shot. There's a handful of guys that shoot the puck like that in the league.
He's a flat-out pure goal scorer, man. It's just
like through-the-net type of...
Well, we never got to that. Jerry's our final Jerry a couple of days ago was, I believe, Jerry was thinking that Laine would lead the league in goal scoring for the next 10 years. So collectively, over the next decade,
Laine
will have the most goals in the league.
Yes. I say yes.
But where's your percentage? It's a Jerry on a Friday afternoon. Do we have it? Do you want to hear it?
Hang on.
I have it.
All right, let's hear it. Let's see what Jerry was saying on Wednesday. We bumped it. We didn't even get to it.
Laine will lead the league in goals scored over the next 10 seasons.
I don't know what he does off the ice with that beard, his Tinder game. I don't care who he is, could be that strong. Looks like a billy goat.
We should have played that.
Yeah.
It's something about hearing Jerry on any other day but a Wednesday, it just doesn't feel right.
I think we do a Jerry one-pack on a Friday. Just to hear him and touch base.
We were thinking about a confirm or deny, like a John Ferguson Jr. can't confirm or deny. We still got to work out the details and cross some T's and dot some I's on that bit. But how do we feel about that take, that Laine will lead the league in points collectively over the next 10 years? Or goals over the next 10 years?
I'm 85%.
Yeah, I'm 76% because you got to factor in other players coming in, health, all of the other, intangibles that could come with it. But they're a good team. They're a good young team. So he's going to play on a good young team for a while. If he's healthy, I don't see any reason why he couldn't lead the league in goals.
I'm not sure he would have. Like, what is he on pace for here? 50? I'm not sure he can get to 50. It's close.
It's close.
Like, Matthews was on pace for 45, give or take, before he got injured.
Mm-hmm.
Prorated, he's real close to 45, 47.
Yeah.
I think Laine will end up scoring more than Matthews, but I wouldn't sell him short over the next decade. And McDavid, if he starts getting hot, like, he's up to what? Close to 40 goals himself? 37, 30.
Right. I thought he was sort of 35th last night.
He's more of a playmaker, but he's still capable of scoring.
Oh, yeah. On a good year, he could get 50.
Dude, the guy gets three breakaways a game.
Absolutely. He starts tucking those away. So there's just so much talent in the league. I'm with you. Like, Laine is brilliant, but I'll say 49% just into the minority. Because you're talking about one player versus the field for 10 years.
That's what I'm saying, the field. Like
the field.
Nathan McKinnon's a young goal scorer.
Kucherov's going to score.
Stamkos is 24 years old.
Could play for another 10 years.
Like, that's the one thing that I think we're sleeping on, guys like Kucherov and Tarasenko. And, Kucherov is 24 years old. So he's going to play for 10 more years.
Right, and be a high-caliber player.
Yes. So, that's why I gave it a high percentage. But just based on how pure he is, that's the one thing.
Yeah,
he has OV release in him, that type of situation.
And he doesn't play a ton of minutes. And he might get more minutes as his career goes on and as his 5-on-5 game improves a bit.
Yeah.
We'll get to our Friday 5-pack. Gord Ash will join us on the Jays. We'll keep teeing up a big weekend for the Raptors and the Maple Leafs as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050.